Hello, and welcome to episode 3 of The Tower. Very late at night here, actually. Doing the story at around about 2:20 a.m. I've just finished working, and feeling a bit tired, but also aware that I've not done my podcast this month, so I'm on the ball with it and getting one done so we get a February podcast, which I think is quite important. Keep things ticking over. This particular story that I'm doing today, it's called Paddy in the Box. It's not an original to me. It's one that I heard at a storytelling festival, late 80s, early 90s, that sort of period. I like it because it's about a storyteller. And I think storytellers are fine groups of people. If I was to go back in time, for example, I would see myself very much in sort of the Anglo-Saxon realm or the medieval times as the storyteller making his way round houses, the candle on the table and drinking his hand and regaling people with the tales of old and the sagas and things. If any of you have dipped into Amazon and had a look at the sort of thing that I write, you'd probably find my book Harold Harefoot there. It's a biography on the Saxon king, the Anglo-Saxon king. He was Danish, really, because he was one of the sons of Canute, but my little biography on him I enjoyed doing very much, and it connects us all into the world of long ago without televisions, where the power of the voice was the thing. And Paddy, the character in my story, Paddy, well, he's of an era where people would welcome the storyteller into their homes. I usually give them a meal and a bed for the night and at least a couple of drinks. But we actually meet Paddy being chased out of the village, herded out of town, you might say, by the local children. And they're all running after him and they're all shouting and they're going, "Paddy, Paddy, don't want you here, matey, get out of here." Oh my goodness, poor old Paddy, totally unwanted. And you know what, in the rain and the dirt, the poor man crawls himself into a ditch and goes to sleep with his coat over his head. Now, fair enough, you might say. Haven't you just told us that storytellers were the single most important people? No, I don't think I did tell you that, but we'll run with it. Well, okay, you say you did tell us that storytellers are welcomed into people's houses and given a meal, so why is this poor guy being chased out of town? And I'd have to admit, I did tell you that. The reason that Paddy is being chased out of town is because what Paddy used to do was he used to knock on the door. The door would be opened and Paddy would be there. And he'd come in, they'd offer him a drink, something to eat. And then once he'd eaten their food and drunken their ale, they would look at him and they'd say, "Paddy, come on then, tell us a story." And I'm afraid Paddy would just shrug his shoulders and say, "I have no story to tell." Oh dear. Well, he's a con artist then, isn't he? And the news got around, and that is why Paddy was thrown out of town. Now, he's been sleeping in his ditch for an hour or two. It's dark and it's still raining. But then, he's woken up. He's woken up by a voice. And the voice comes from a man in a house, in a field, next to where Paddy is lying. It's a very large house, and it's a very big man. And the man shouts down and he goes, "Paddy! Paddy, is that you?" Paddy looks up and goes, "Yeah?" "Well," said the man, "my best friend, Paddy, sleeping in a ditch. Come on, get yourself out of there. Come and join me." Paddy has never actually seen this man before. But let's face it, it's a welcome. It's better than being in the ditch. And so Paddy starts to move towards him. It's dark, remember, so he doesn't see the man very well until he gets fairly close too. And as he's standing in the doorway, Paddy can see an enormous man. He can't be much shy of 7 foot. He's wearing a red suit, a red shirt, a red tie. And he has red hair going all the way down his back and a goatee. "Sit," said the man. "What's this, eh? In a ditch, I don't know."
Yeah, said Paddy, looking at all the lovely food. "Yeah, I was.
What he's thinking is, I've never seen you before in my life, but if you're going to feed me and call me your best friend, then that'll do me for now." And Paddy starts eating the food.
Now then, Paddy, said his host.
Good to see you. But you know, he said, if you don't mind me saying so. He said, you're a bit scruffy.
Oh, yeah, said Paddy, looking at his clothing.
It's true.
See, he said, I do sleep in a ditch.
Yeah, said the man. If you don't mind me saying so. And Paddy didn't really mind him saying so.
If you don't mind me saying so, said the man, you're very, well, smelly.
Oh, God, yeah, said Paddy, smelling himself.
I do whiff a bit, it must be said. But then that's because, he said, I sleep in a ditch.
Oh, said the man. Oh, my best friend in the whole world, sleeping in a ditch and smelling.
Yeah, said Paddy, who'd never seen this man before.
Tell you what, said the tall gentleman with the goatee. Go and have yourself a bath and have a sleep and we'll talk things over in the morning.
Yeah, all right, said Paddy. Yeah. Well, it was better than telling stories, let's face it, and the request for a story had never arrived. So Paddy walks into the room and, weirdly enough, on the door it actually says, Paddy's room. And Paddy has a bath.
Oh, it's so refreshing. It's so nice.
And then Paddy looks and, well, this is interesting as well, actually, because on the bed there are some pyjamas. And on the pyjama top is embroidered the little letter P.
How unusual, said Paddy, but he puts them on anyway. He gets into bed. Oh, it's so comfortable. He has beautiful cotton sheets and a warm duvet. For the first time in a long time, a very happy Paddy falls to sleep.
Anyway, he's been asleep for a little while. Maybe an hour or so. In that very beautiful bed. And he can hear the rain on the panes outside. But all is nice and warm and cosy. And Paddy, fast asleep as he is then woken up once again. But this time he's woken up by a knocking at his window. He gets out of bed in his pyjamas and he looks outside. And there in the rain are three men dressed entirely in black. They're very skeletal, very bony men, shall we say. And they're carrying a box. The box is I suppose you'd say it's about the size of Paddy with a lid on it. And the three men with their tall black hats and long black coats wave at Paddy and beckon to him, and he opens his window fully and sticks his head out. Hello, says Paddy.
Hello, said the three men.
We work for the man who owns this house.
Oh, said Paddy.
Do you indeed?
Yes, said the three men.
And the thing is, Paddy, he wants you to do a job for him.
Oh, said Paddy.
What kind of a job? Now Paddy's thinking, of course, God, I hope I don't have to tell a story.
But the three men said, well, actually, Paddy, you see this box here?
Yes, said Paddy.
Well, said the three men,
we want you to carry the box.
Oh, said Paddy, oh, I can do that. Yeah, I can carry boxes. Better than telling stories, he thought. So he climbs out the window. He's, by the way, I should just mention he's put his shoes on at least and his clothes back over the top of his pyjamas. And he gets outside in the rain. And as he gets outside in the rain and he picks the box up, it's very light. There's nothing really in it. And so he picks it up and he walks along. And the three men walk just in front of him with an endless click, click, click as their bony limbs move and click in the night. After a little while, they get to a river, and the three men stand and they look down at the water.
Well, there's a river there, Paddy, said the three men.
Oh, yeah, said Paddy. It is. Because it was a river. He couldn't deny it. He'd be lying if he did. And the three men, they stop and they say, we, Paddy, would like somebody to carry the box over the river.
Oh, said Paddy, would you?
Yes, said the three men. And guess who's going to do that?
Oh, I don't know, said Paddy. No idea at all.
Well, you are, said the three men.
Oh, said Paddy, all right then. So he picks the box up and he lifts it up high out of the water and he makes his way over the river until he gets to the other side. By which time, of course, he's absolutely soaking wet. But the three men, as if by magic, are standing there waiting for him on the other side. And off they walk again with a click, click, click of their bony limbs. They walk for about 5 or 10 minutes until they get to a wall. It's a very tall wall. And the three men stop in front of it and they look at it and they say, oh, look, there's a wall there, Paddy.
Said Paddy.
It is.
Because it was.
He'd be lying if he denied it. Thing is, said the three men, we want somebody to take the box over the wall.
Oh, said the three men.
Do you?
Yes.
Now guess who's going to do that?
Oh, says Paddy.
I don't know.
Well... You are, Paddy, said the three men.
So Paddy pushes and heaves and he climbs and he pushes and he heaves and he climbs until eventually he gets to the top of the wall with the box and he drops down the other side. And there the three men are already waiting for him. As if by magic. They are in a graveyard full of dead people.
Dead, buried people, to be fair.
And the three men walk through the graves and Paddy carries the box until they arrive at a grave with no name. And the three men stop and they look and they say,
there's a grave there, Paddy.
Oh, yeah, said Paddy.
It is.
Because it was. And the three men, leaning on a shovel, say, we need somebody to dig the grave, Paddy. Guess who's going to do that?
Well, how would I know, said Paddy. Haven't got a clue.
Well, you are, said the three men.
Says Paddy. Me again, huh?
And he picks up his shovel and he digs and he digs and he digs until he's dug 6 feet down and then he climbs his way out of the grave. And for the first time, the three men do something. Because what they do is they pick up that box. And I guess you know by now it's a coffin. And they drop it in the grave. The lid lifts open. And there Paddy looks down at, not a skeleton, but an empty box. And the three men look at one another and they look at Paddy. And they say, Paddy, that coffin needs a body. Says Paddy. It does. Yes, said the three men. And guess who's going to be the body, Paddy? And Paddy goes, And then, because he's not that stupid, he goes, me! And he turns round and he runs. He runs so fast, he runs and he runs and he runs and he leaps over those graves and he gets to the wall. And then he climbs and he climbs and climbs and gets to the side of the wall. And there the three men are straight behind him and he can hear that click, click, click of their bony skeletal bodies as those bony men come behind him. He can feel their bony skeleton arms reaching out and touching his neck. But he runs and he runs and he runs and he gets to the river where he swims and he swims and he swims until he gets to the other side. And again, he can hear those three bony men running and running and running behind him. But Paddy runs faster and he leaps back into that room again, into the bedroom, and he dives his way through the window. And he lands up on the floor of his bedroom. And he slams the window shut. Thank goodness he's got away from those three bony men. Whew. That was exhausting, wasn't it? But you know what? He's really warm. That run must have exhausted him. Because it's like he's on fire. It's like the room's so hot it's on fire. And then he realises, of course, that the reason that the room seems to be on fire is because the room's on fire. It's actually burning. And there in the middle of the room, next to him, is the tall man who let him in the house to begin with. The tall man with the red cloak. Now Paddy, who has a reasonable memory for detail, is sure that this guy didn't have pig's trotters for feet before. And Paddy's sure that the man didn't have horns or a tail. But he does now. And Paddy realises, of course, that he's in the room with the devil. Hello, Paddy, said the devil. How nice to see you. How nice that you've come back to me, Paddy.
Says Paddy, what do you mean?
Well, said the devil, let's face it, nobody wants you in their house, do they, Paddy? Because you turn up and you eat their food and you drink their wine, but you never have a story to tell, so nobody wants you apart from me. And I've had a room prepared for you for a long time.
No, said Paddy, no, that's not fair, that's not right, please.
And in a faint, Paddy collapses on the floor. And he lies there, and he lies there, until he's woken up by the splashing of water. And there he is, back, lying in his ditch, with no big house at all. And there, looking down at him from over the hedge, are three very thin, skeletal black cows and a huge red bull. Now you're right, of course, Paddy was dreaming. The whole thing was a dream. But please, please don't think
that this story is one of those that just goes, ah, it was a dream and that's the end. Because, you see, it wasn't exactly the end at all. Because now when Paddy went from house to house to tell his stories, Paddy had a story to tell. Because now Paddy could sit down and tell his tale of the day that he went into the devil's house and was nearly buried alive in a grave. The end. And I'm kind of glad if you enjoyed that one, because it's one that I enjoy telling. And I've got little Harry with me, who's joined me not for the first part of the story, but for the second part of the story. So he's going to say ta-ra to you all.
Bye.
There we go. And what else can I say? Oh, yes. Please remember to subscribe on podcasts, because I need some subscribers, although they're ticking over quite well now, getting more and more as we go along. And also, if you've got a moment, give me a review on iTunes. That always goes down so well, and I really, really appreciate it. I do have a Twitter account now called The Teller, but I haven't been looking at it, and I really must. So if you want to give me a follow on the Twitter, on The Teller, that would be fantastic. Hope you've all had a wonderful February. Let's look forward to March and whatever tale we meet then. God bless. Take care, all of you. Have a great day wherever you are. Bye-bye.